Well, my last experience going fishing was very similar to the disciples before meeting the risen Christ. It was up in Washington. I was invited to go salmon fishing at 4 in the morning one day at the Columbia River in the state of Washington, where there is an abundance of salmon through its rivers. I went with three other pastors. One of them said, "I am going fishing on my day off." So I said, "I will go with you." I have never gone fishing for salmon. If you have ever experienced this, you go on a big boat and the fishing poles are a lot bigger than the regular fishing at the lake. Last time this other pastor went fishing, he had taken some pictures of a huge salmon. So I couldn't wait but to experience the same thing that he showed me in the pictures. So we began at 4 in the morning and were there all morning until about 1 p.m. And at the end of the day, guess how many fish did we catch? We had no fish at all. So that was my last experience. I need to go back for more fishing. But there's a lot of things that I learned about salmon during my time up in Washington. I grew up in the city, so learning about agriculture and rivers, all of that, it was just a learning curve for me being in an agricultural location up in Washington, and rivers and salmon. But something that I learned about salmon that I always think, and every story of Jesus takes me back to my own fishing experience, but something that I learned about salmon during my time living close to this river is that salmon, after many years, they're able somehow to return to the same place that in which they were born. And that is, for me, very fascinating, how after many years they're able to somehow go back to the same location where they were born. They return once again to the same spot to reproduce, and after spawning, which is the releasing of their eggs, they die. The new baby salmon, after they begin their journey of life, they swim and return to the same place. They somehow remember how to get back to the same location. Some say that they are able to do this by their sense of smell, which again is just mind-blowing to me, how they are able to, after many, many, many years. But despite of the many water streams that they go through, threats they experience along the way, they are able to return home to the same place, a place where death and life happens. The disciples had come to wait for Jesus to show up again. Not sure how long it had passed since they last saw Jesus. And the last time we read about their encounter with the risen Christ, they were inside their doors, locked in fear. They saw this risen Christ. They had received the Holy Spirit. And so then they returned to the same waters, the same sea where they had first met Jesus, or the first time that Jesus first met his disciples. And perhaps in hope that they would meet Jesus again. Many commentators said that they have waited so long that they were becoming to be anxious, right? They were in need of another encounter with the risen Christ. It's kind of like when you go and see a great movie that was so good, and then you go and tell people about how good this movie is, and then, all the excitement of this movie kind of goes away, and then you kind of have to wait patiently for the next movie to come out. Sometimes it takes too long for the next movie to come out, right? And so then there's this period in between, you're waiting for a long time that you start forgetting even every details of the first movie, right? So there's a lot of anxiety in that. So that's kind of where we find the disciples. They were kind of excited that Jesus rose and they had an encounter with Jesus, and then they were waiting for them to again, where are we going to see Jesus again? And so they were already anxious. But suddenly the risen Christ meets his disciples, as he did when he first calls his disciples, where they first began their journey with Jesus to that same place, where they were called to become fishers of people. I often, like I mentioned earlier in my the beginning of the service, I often place the baptismal font to remind us of the beginnings of our own faith journeys. For a lot of us, our life with God really began at the baptismal font, at the waters of our baptism, where we also received the Holy Spirit. A couple Sundays ago, on Easter Sunday, we had a baptism. And the mother of the child that I baptized had her beginnings here at Christ Lutheran in these same waters. And so she called, and after many years, she wanted to bring her daughter, to 2-year-old daughter, to be baptized to the same location where she began her life of faith, to the same waters where she began her call as a disciple of Jesus. And so we welcome her on Easter Sunday, and where she make promises for her daughter, just as her parents made promises for her, which was to teach the way of Jesus to her daughter. And so in joining her, we also, in a way, were invited to renew our baptismal promises that most of us, our parents, made. For some of you, you did it on your own at a later time. Yesterday, we just finished with our last confirmation retreat. And so we will have 2 students in a few weeks. They're going to affirm their promises for themselves. And so yesterday, as we gather, we also gather around the font, but also we also gather around the table. We were fed and nourished, just like the disciples who got invited to feast with Christ after a long journey of learning to trust God. We were fed, forgiven in the presence of God, and here by the same waters where Jesus first met his disciples, also we also gather around the same font. So we renew our call, and today the scriptures also invites us to our own faith and the times that we have encountered Christ and the times that our faith have been renewed at different times in our lives. Today we not only learn about how their disciples' life of faith got renewed, but we also got to hear the story of the Apostle Paul, right? The life of faith of Paul also gets renewed as well. What I sometimes forget about Paul is that Paul was a person of faith, right? He believed in God. He was a leader with his religious order who believed in God. Yes, he persecuted Christians because of his religious views, because of his faith. He knew scripture very well, and he grew up in a synagogue learning about the love of God. But his opposition to Christianity was exactly because of his faith. He thought that this group of Jews who had adopted a new way of being were in error, and they were damaging his community of faith. And this is what led Paul to a journey where he also sought to examine every person who was disrupting his community of faith. How many of us have been there where Paul was or is? Or we have this human tendency or reaction to also want to exterminate those outside of our own belief system, or wanting to disappear those who theologically or who share different ideologies, because we think that they are wrong. And so we begin to attack their belief system. Paul could not see the new thing that God was doing in his community, who witnessed the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. And so his encounter with the risen Christ also renewed Paul in his relationship with God, transformed his course of life, and joined in the proclamation of the very people that he used to silence their voices. So again, today we are once again invited to renew our relationship with Christ. And in fact, every Sunday we are invited to this familiar place, the place where we learn the love of God, the teachings of Jesus. Here is where we first met Jesus. Among God's people, by the water of our baptisms, it is here where we are fed once again by the grace of God. And Jesus again calls us to trust him to this life with God and to see the new thing that God is doing in our life among each one of us. So the question for us today will be able to see this new thing that God is doing among us. May God reveal to us what that new thing is doing through the power of the Holy Spirit. And may God continue to renew our lives of faith as well. Amen.